In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 80, at least we think. We got a little screwed up with...
special episodes, with, extra episodes.
With Willie Yon. We had a little bonus there, but I think we're at 80. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here, and we are joined by Matt Soroy, producer of the show often, who's a big Yankee fan, so... We're happy to have you sit in.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We're going to outnumber Brian today.
That's fine. Whatever.
Tag.
We have a huge series, four-game set between the Yankees and the Red Sox, and we sort of talked off mic that the question isn't can the Yankees be caught. I mean, of course they could be, but we all agree that it's highly unlikely that anyone else will win the division in the American League.
I feel like Atlanta caught someone like in the late 90s. They were like... behind by like nine games in August, and they caught him.
Well, I mean, of course,
it can happen, but
78 with the Red Sox. I mean, the Red Sox are 13 behind. If they go into August under 10, it wouldn't be unprecedented.
Right.
Right. So,
but right now, it's looking like you're playing for a wild card spot.
Correct. And the three wild cards right now are from the American League East. And as Matt and I have talked on my regular show on WTIC News Talk 1080 in the mornings, 5:30 to 9 a.m. You can always stream it. That the Orioles aren't bad.
Yeah.
They're not bad. They're the best bad team in the league. If you look at their record relative to
the
every
best
other,
bad team in the league.
They
so
are.
So there's the Reds. The Diamondbacks aren't as bad as everyone thinks
no.
they
no,
are.
No, but
right?
The Orioles are better.
The Orioles are bad. The A's are bad. So yeah, I would say the Orioles are probably the best bad team
in baseball.
They got the nicest park, that's for sure. The Pirates got a nice park, but they're not as bad as the Orioles, are
well,
they?
Well, in that division too, in the AL East, to have the record that the Orioles do is...
It's pretty impressive.
It is impressive.
They wouldn't be in last place in any other division.
No.
Let's put it that way. So we get that out of the way. So we get the four-game set. I have... First, well, before we talk about some issues with the team, I'll just say you have Gerrit Cole versus Josh Winkowski, right? You have Nestor Cortes against Michael Wacha, Jordan Montgomery against TBD, and Jameson Taillon against Nick Pivetta. I mean, that's not that promising for Boston.
No. I mean, well, again, like the pitching all year hasn't been that promising, right? I mean, the pitching has been okay for Boston, but the bullpen's been bad. And that's really been the difference when you think about it. The Yankees got off to a good start at the beginning of the season, and the Red Sox didn't get off such a great start. And that's what you're looking at now in the division lead. That's pretty much it, the beginning in April. You know, the Red Sox were hot in June, just as much as the Yankees were hot. And you're not getting talked about because of the dang division lead, right? I mean, I'm a Yankees fan, but I got to give the Red Sox credit, right? They're technically hanging in there, right? If they played bad baseball, they'd be way further behind right now.
We did it every morning on our show. I never thought they'd be here.
It's honestly incredible that they were, it seemed 20 minutes ago, they were under 500 by like a few games.
Right.
More than a few games, and now they're kind of surging almost.
Yeah. Well, here's where the ceiling is, and this is where all the talk and sort of Red Sox Nation is that Chaim Bloom won't make him. Like, Brian Cashman will do what he needs to do to make the team even better, and there's a real strong belief in the Boston area that Chaim Bloom will not deviate from the plan.
Well, what is the plan? Just status quo? Because if you look at the Yankees right now, I would say the way they're playing, they don't need anybody, right? They need to get rid of Gallo, right? Because he's pretty much useless. But if you got a team that's playing this good, do you think about adding a piece and potentially screwing it up? Right?
I don't think their starting pitching is that impressive, even though they've been impressive. Even though they had the same thing. Remember last year the Red Sox had that string where like all five of their starters –
Well, they just
rotated,
kept going.
Right, because no one got hurt. No one missed a start.
Right. And that's what the Yankees have had.
Right. So my point is the Yankees starters are the best they're going to be. They're not going to be better than they've been. They won't, and I don't know that it's sustainable. Whereas the Red Sox can get Garrett Whitlock back, Nate Eovaldi, and Chris Sale, and being where they are, And I don't think Chaim Bloom will trade away these young pieces that everyone's excited about.
You're looking at an internal fix is what you're looking at. You're looking at those like injured free agent guys coming back, basically.
Right. I would love for them to add relief pitching and another bat in the outfield. I mean, first base and outfield production is, I mean, there's not a chance that the Red Sox are a championship team the way they're built right now. They would have to do something. They're waiting for Tristan Casas in the minors or whoever, and the word is that they probably won't trade some of these young pieces, even though the point of young talent is to keep some and trade some. That's right. What you get them for.
I mean, I go back to, like, would they be in a different position if they held on to Kyle Schwarber the season that he's having?
Are you kidding me? Guys, I mean,
it's unbelievable what he's doing.
Yeah. It's amazing that they got rid of him. I wonder what it would have taken for him to stay in Boston, or did he not want to stay in Boston?
Well, by all accounts, he liked it. I mean, he had that whole thing with Waltham or whatever, yeah, with the fire t-shirt and all.
So they basically
stuff.
Just gave up on him.
They said they would
he was a
sign
rental
him.
No matter what.
Yes.
And they were going to put their money on Dahlbach.
Which, obviously, and I like Dahlbach. Brian Dahlbach and Bobby Dahlbach. I get him confused. Because, I mean, listen, they could have had Rizzo, too, and I love Rizzo.
Right. But Dahlbach's an older rookie, right? I mean, not technically rookie, but this is like his second season, yeah, right? But he's like 27, right?
I mean, do you think that a guy who's that kind of sample size, is that as good as, I mean, is that it?
I just feel like, you know, the way Major League Baseball is now, if you haven't made it to the major leagues and are making an impact by 23, chances are you're not going to. Like, if you're going to come up, you're just going to be an average player. You might have one semi-good year and catch a contract like Carl Everett did back in the day for the Red Sox and bloomed late, but... You know, the players are so – we talked with Willian about this. The players are so much younger. They're so much faster. And the emphasis is to get them up in their early 20s and kick them to the curb by the time they're 27, 28, or 30 and just get rid of them if they're not doing it for you.
Right.
I don't really think they ever thought Dahlbach would be the answer, to be honest with you.
I don't know. I mean, and the thing is that –
I think they thought they were good enough to hide him. Like, the Yankees are good enough to hide Joey Gallo, but they won't be good enough in the playoffs to hide Joey Gallo.
There's no hiding Joey Gallo.
No,
anymore.
There's no hiding Joey Gallo.
He went from batting, you know, third to fifth, down to ninth now, and he's still striking out at a rapid rate.
And I feel bad for him in a way, because if he wasn't on such a good team, it'd be even 100 times worse. He would not have a job if he was on. If the Yankees were struggling, right, or they were not playing like they are now, there was no way he would be on the team.
Are they going to showcase him, like give him like a good 2-week stretch?
What is there to showcase?
I don't even know. Is he playing,
Brian,
every day? Is he playing?
Yes, basically. Yeah. He basically plays 5 out of the 7 games a week. But how do you showcase that?
I don't know.
I want to know. I mean, in Tommy Boy, they said your father could sell a ketchup popsicle to a guy in white gloves, right?
Yeah.
How do you showcase Joey Gallo, dude?
I don't know. You need to find a way for the Kansas Cities of the world to give you something.
There's 30 days in the month of June, and he struck out 32 times. There's no showcasing.
You have to give him to somebody, knowing the farewell that they're probably going to release him. You're going to have to pay his contract, give him to somebody, and they'll release him. Or you just release him. I don't know why they haven't released him. I mean, the Red Sox are not going to pick him up. No, right? The Toronto Blue Jays are not going to pick him up. Nobody that's going to factor in any of your postseason plans in their right mind would pick him up.
No, and a team like even staying in the AL East, like the Orioles, would rather get somebody at bats who's going to make a difference.
Right, and the way
down
I
the
look
road.
At it, it's like you're not going to use him as a trade chip. Anybody that's going to be trading with the Yankees is going to want one of their good shortstops, the Martian, or one of these pitchers that might be on like a heel or a Devi Garcia, who's even their ships kind of sailed due to injury and just not performing. So there's no showcasing Joey Gallo. Like Brian Reynolds right now is showcasing himself for the New York Yankees. Right?
I got you. I think you're right. You're right about it. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. We're with Matt Sorois here on episode 80, a fan base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Before I ask a macro question, let's just talk about the series. What do you think is going to happen? There are 4 games. They split. Someone sweeps. 3-1. What do we got?
Tell them what we talked about out in the hallway, Matt.
You go ahead.
All right, so we're a little nervous, right? Because the Yankees aren't playing as good as they've been playing, right?
Winkowski, Walker, TBD, and Pivetta.
Right, but listen, the Red Sox are winning, dude. They're winning, right?
Well, they are winning more than they're losing.
So the only thing difference is the Red Sox have lost 2 series in basically the last month, and the Yankees have not lost a series in the last 2 months.
Right.
But the records are pretty much the same. So I look at it like they're basically playing the same kind of ball, right?
For the last 3 weeks.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm a little nervous that the Yankees aren't playing as good as they've been playing, and that they're going to go into Fenway, and they might lose the first game and the second game, and next thing you know, you lose 3 out of 4 of the Sox, or you get swept by the Sox, and the whole mentality changes, and Judge isn't playing as good as he has been. If you look at Judge's numbers,
he had to cool off.
Right, April 293, May 311, June 257, and July. Small sample size. He's down to 167 this month.
Wait, it's early. But there's no way he can sustain it.
Absolutely not. But if you look at the Yankees roster, he's the only one that's really hitting the ball, like average wise, and he's dropping. Where the Red Sox have got three or four guys that are over 300 that are actually hitting.
But the Sox take three or four. They're still 11 games back.
But mentality wise, they're not. They're not. And they play each other again, right? They play each other seven times over the next 10 days.
Yeah, mid-August. In July. Yeah, well, they play in
July
next
and then right afterwards.
Right, so they play in New York and then back in Boston. And
so if you get swept, you go into the All-Star break, right?
They're not going to... Wait, is that the last series before the break?
Yeah. Yeah. You go into the break, and then what happens? You know, you get that time off, you go to the beach, you step on a jellyfish, you never know. Next thing you know, a little too much to drink, you get the little, you know, the dog days of summer kick in. You know, the Red Sox are running high, the stupid shopping cart's back out. Like, this is the stuff that happens in baseball.
Sure.
It happens in baseball. And I've watched it long enough to know that it can happen in baseball.
I just don't like the Red Sox that much yet as a team. Like, they're guys that I love. I love Bogarts, I love Devers, and there's some guys that I like, but I don't have that energy that they had in 18
or
even last year. There's just something, it's just kind of blah. Even though they've done better, there's no character that makes me think like, oh, I believe in them. Listen, they're competitive. This is why I think Chaim Bloom's not going to do anything. They're competitive, and if they make a wild card, that's a victory for the organization.
Why are you doing this again? Like, you did this last year. These Red Sox fans playing, oh, we're playing on house money because we made it.
No, I'm not saying that's my perspective.
That's wrong. That's just not.
I agree.
I hate that mentality.
I'm just telling you.
And I know that's what I'm going to hear. Yep. I'm going to hear it the whole time. Oh, well, we made the playoffs. So that's, you know, no one thought we would, even though we did last year. Stop talking like that.
But that's
and
the difference.
I know you're not talking you.
Right.
You're talking Red Sox.
I don't agree with it, but that is the sense that you get that, especially, it's almost like the start of the season was perfect because expectations got so low. That getting the wild card, people will be like, look at where we started. Now we're, and if they win a round and then they get, listen, it'd be great to get the Yankees in a. I don't get it, dude.
Do you get it?
No.
I don't understand that mentality.
As a Yankee fan and like hearing Derek Jeter talk or whatever too in the past, but like a lot of baseball fans are like that. Well, at least we made the playoffs, but you didn't win the last game of the year.
Yeah, but
that's the goal.
Despite your efforts, that's been the result for the Yankees for the most part, for 13 years.
But I never ever hear Yankee fans being like, well, you know, at least we made the playoffs. But I always hear Red Sox fans that. Like, you got that mindset has to change. You've won three World Series in the last 15 years.
So this is
Change the mindset.
Right. So I don't disagree. I think they have enough talent in the minors where they could trade a couple, keep a couple, and still be awesome in the minors. But they don't want to do that, at least not yet. But here's where I get to this is that it's a sort of a would-you-rather thing. I think the Yankees could win 110, and I'm not sure they beat Houston. I don't even know if they get to the World Series.
I don't get it. Houston is just so freaking good, dude. I don't know how they do it. They parade these pitchers out that are just pitchers, right? There's Verlander, you know, is a Hall of Famer, but he's 39 or 40 years old. And these other guys, the Javiers, the Valdez, and they just crank them out, and they just keep
When they play even against the Yankees, and you talk about Jordan Alvarez all the time, but like they there's a feeling that they're better.
Yeah.
And they believe it too,
and they know it. Which is,
and they are because they've beaten them.
True.
That's where the World Series goes through now. It goes through Houston. It's been like that for the last 5 years.
So what happens if that's the way things go this year? You win 110, you lose in the ALCS.
It can happen. Mariners happened to them in 2001. I mean, it just happens. That's what sucks. I mean, that's what's crazy about baseball. At least you don't have the one-game playoff. At least you have a three-game now.
Right, which I think gives the Red Sox a good chance to make a round. So you'd rather be a wild card, win a round and lose, or have the best record in baseball and lose.
Right.
Exactly.
And I had this discussion with somebody too. Does not winning the World Series for the Yankees this year, is it win or bust for Aaron Judge coming back?
I don't think so. But it's win or bust for fans, like John said.
Yeah, 100%.
But I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with Aaron Judge. I think the bottom line is they were so stupid. All the teams were stupid. Whether it's Bogarts, Devers, or Judge, it's just dumb not to pay them.
Yeah, I don't get it. Even, you know, the Judge is having such a great year, and regardless, I mean, he'll cool off a little bit. He'll probably finish upper 270s, 280. He's going to hit 50 home runs. I mean, chances are, if the season plays out the way it is, it's going to be him, Devers, Ramirez in the top 3 to 5 for the MVP. Yeah. I mean, he could bet on himself and be the MVP of the World Series and the American League MVP, and the Yankees are going to have to pay him. Like, I had this conversation over the weekend with a Red Sox fan. Judge is not going to the Red Sox. That's not going to happen.
Why do you say that?
They're not going to pay him, dude. If they're not going to pay Devers or Bogarts, they're not going to pay $40 million a year for Judge. Right. They're not going to. The only other place he's going to go is L.A., not the Angels. He'd be crazy to go there.
I don't think the Dodgers can do it.
Right, but listen, Chicago, L.A., Boston, New York. That's who's going to pay, right? Nobody in their right mind is going to go to Texas where you're going to lose, or Seattle where you're going to lose,
well,
right?
You know you're taking it just for the money if
you're
you do that.
You're going to one of these four places, and I'm telling you, he ain't going to Boston. It's just not how it is, right? Regardless of what his T-shirt looked like in 1989 or whatever he was wearing when he was 13 or whatever it was, he had a Red Sox shirt on that picture. He's not going there, right? He's going to go to one of the New York teams.
It's going, be awesome.
Going to the Mets,
I would love it if he went to the Mets. I would love it.
A lot of people that would love it if he went to the Mets.
That's
it,
my
it
take. Would you agree on that? He's going to stay in New York regardless. I don't think he's going anywhere, dude.
I mean, I grew up a San Francisco Giants fan, but like you said, if he's going there, I don't even know if they have the salary space for it. Or
the Giants can pay.
They always got money.
They don't pay, but they can pay.
But he's a Southern California guy, right? He's like a USC kind of guy, right?
Yeah.
He's from Southern Cal, but he's a Giants fan. See, like, why would you want to go to Northern California?
I just root for him to leave just because it'd be fun. But, I just think if they end up signing him, it would have been just such a waste of energy.
Right. You're not going to market anywhere else other than New York for him. I mean, he knows. He's not an idiot.
So do you think, let's wrap it up. You think the Sox are going to take 3 or 4?
No. I think the very least it's a split. I mean, listen, the Sox aren't better than the Astros. The Yankees weren't playing that great when they went and played Houston. They still split. I do not believe the Red Sox are going to take 3 out of 4 from the Yankees. But if it happens, the mentality can really switch,
sure,
especially going into the break.
I think the Yankees will take 3 or 4 unbiasedly. I think they're going to lose the Sunday night game where Taillon pitches. Taillon's been struggling a little bit more. But I think the big key is if Anthony Rizzo plays this weekend against the Sox, too, because they need that left-handed bat in the lineup.
Yeah, no, we haven't talked about that. You know, Rizzo, anytime you're dealing with your back, that's an issue, right? I don't care if you slept on it wrong.
A little older and a bigger guy.
Dude, that stuff lingers, right? I'm no professional athlete, but I hurt my back like a month and a half ago, and it's still bothering me, right? Still bothering me. And they got the best hair in the world, but you're got to hit. You got to hit, and you got to perform, right? And if your back hurts, ask Don Mattingly, man.
You can't do it.
You want that. You want to fix that now, right? So he might not play at all. But like you said, big hole, big hole.
So I would say whoever wins the first, like if they can beat Cole, they can win 3 or 4. If they lose the first game, they'll probably lose 3 or 4.
We should know by the second inning, by the way, with that. Because
yeah, he's like Mussina. The longer he goes, the better he gets.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you get to them early, I think that's 100% true. So that's sort of how I feel. Just a couple programming notes coming up. We are probably going to do our next broadcast from Dunkin' Donuts Park of AA Hartford Yard Goats and maybe get their manager. That might be the next episode. After that, we're going to sit down with our good friend Rico Bronya, of course.
Rico.
Yeah, had a long career in the majors. Has coached at several levels of professional baseball
as
well.
He's not coaching this year, right?
No, he's not. And we'll just get we got so many questions for him because he still has inside stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In terms of all the different things we want to know, whether strike zone, this and that. I mean, you know, there's so many things I want to put to him. So
I had some good experiences with umpires this weekend at a tournament in Long Island.
Let's save that for next
week. That was interesting stuff.
Because you were with some all-star stuff, right?
Well, yeah, it was
travel
like tournament
baseball
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was interesting. I got to see the whole gamut. Let's put it that way.
Well, you
got
to continue. You should start an Instagram account before we say goodbye on umpires. Just because the age stuff, it's just hysterical.
Well, like, it's amazing, real quick, how you can get two guys on a field and they can just be so light years apart in ability and just
sure.
And then, but one of them remains behind the plate and the other one remains in the field. Now, if I know just how the game went, the other one was in the field, they would have screwed those calls up too.
Did you keep your mouth shut?
Absolutely.
You did.
But other people didn't. There was a lot of they threw the coach out of the game. They called the game. And it was a berating of the umpire by parents as he walked to the parking lot.
Wow. Listen, I want to unpack that. We don't have time for it now, but I can't wait because bad umpires and bad parents make for good podcasts. he's Matt Sirois, John Senegal, Brian Shackman. What?
You didn't say anything about what your prediction is.
I did. I said whoever wins the first game is going to win 3 of 4.
Yeah, well.
That's good enough. You want more? Fine, the Yankees are going to win 3 or 4.
I hear you say
John.
That. I'm sorry. I got lost in
you
the whole.
You ruined my mojo, my
right
tag out.
I want you to come right out and be like, they're going to win 3 or 4. Not, oh, they win the first game.
Well, I truly believe that if Cole loses game 1, the Red Sox can roll. And if he wins it, and it's pretty much, you know, like a 5-0 game.
How about this new
game
kid the Red Sox are bringing up? Yeah. Brian? Is it Brian?
Or Bello? Or Bello, whatever it is. He's talented. I don't know if he's ready. But and I think it might be a spot start, but they got a bunch of guys who could be ready that they should be bringing up. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. I mean, Cassis got hurt. He could probably play right now and play better than Dahlbeck. So we'll see. This has been episode 80 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.